back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're continuing our study in the Gospel of Luke. We have got to chapter 3 and verse 1. And now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysarius, the tetrarch of Abilene. Now, what Luke here is doing in verse 1 of chapter 3 for us is he's giving us a date. Of course, all the people would have known the date that the Messiah, that the decree went forth to kill all of the firstborn or up to 2 years old of Jerusalem. They would have known all these things by date, so that we could date the age of the Messiah to about 30 years old when all of these things started to happen. And it says here in verse 2, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he came unto all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, this is a lot of people in prophecy. We're looking for a Messiah to come, a conquering Messiah that would come and vanquish all the enemies of Israel. So this was not a very popular message, this baptism for the remission of sin. This would not be accepted in the mainstream church of the day, the mainstream ecclesia of the day, headed by, of course, with permission of the Roman government, all of these churches having their place and their position and their authority from the state of Rome to exist. This would not be popular then. So Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, John, the son of Zacharias, is preaching this message, the baptism of repentance and for remission of sins. And it was written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahuwah, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth their fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to father, as our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? And he answered and said unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized. And he said to them, Master, what shall we do? And of course, a publican is a tax collector. Publican is someone who has a charge of public, some public trust of some sort, being the Roman Empire. We have the same thing today. Publicans are public servants, so to speak. In this case, they were tax collectors or people who lived on public revenue. This is called publicans. You know, there was a cry throughout the land when America, the second beast, rose up in the wilderness. America rose up in the wilderness, and the cry was Res Publica Libera. and the form of government was based on this phrase, res publica libera, in the, I guess it's Latin or is it Greek? I forget. Anyway, and the word is republic. That's what the term republic comes from. Res publica libera, which means free from things public. That's the foundation of America, is freedom from things public. And that is speaking of the individual is free from things public. That is that we are not constrained by things public. But we have publicans all over the place today, people who live on the public, on public revenue. And that is taking, as was practiced in Rome, they didn't have freedom from things public because you had publicans, tax collectors, collecting from everyone to bind them to things public. And today we are bound to things public, are we not? How many people are living on public revenue now? Perhaps the number has grown to more than 50% of the people out there live off of the public revenue. And so we have no freedom from things public. The cry of that new nation, res publica libera, is dead. We no longer have a republic. Some may try to believe or think to believe that we have a republic, but truly, America is a democracy where the majority rules, perhaps, or at least they have an illusion that the majority rules, because I don't even believe that. But anyway, the publicans come to be baptized and said to him, Master, what shall we do? They're speaking to John the Baptist there. And he said to them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. I'd like to say to the publicans and the police out there today, yeah, that's right. All you publicans, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. And, of course, they keep raising their wages out there in the legislature. And they have, and then the teachers and all the other ones have great unions, teachers unions and so forth, which go into the legislature to exert their control to exact more than is due to them. Because if they had to go into the public sector, yeah, go into the private schools and find out what you're really worth. And you'll find teachers that work harder and get paid less. Because that is what you're worth on the free market. And then, of course, then you have those in the legislature getting raises. And of course, those in Congress, you know, after 4 years, they get a lifelong pension. Would you get that in the public sector? You're exacting to yourself more than is justly due. And so that's why, you know, you see that's called corruption. And that's what John is speaking here. Exact no more than that which is appointed to you. So that's what John is talking about here. And the soldiers likewise, he demanded of them, are you police out there? They said, what shall we do? He said to them, do violence to no man. And they're doing violence all over the... Neither accuse any falsely. Yes, out there, bringing multiple accusations against people, just trying to get something to stick. And not just talking to the police, but we're talking to the prosecutors and all of those who work in the criminal system, criminal justice or system, criminal just for us system, doing violence to men, bringing false accusations against people. And it says, and be content with your wages. And meaning that, yes, you're not running a protection racket. Be content with your wages. And no, they're not content with their wages. They find ways to exact more out of their victims than they should. I'm just trying to make a modern day application here. And these are all the same things. It's all the same stuff is still going on today. And I'm sure that John saw directly into their hearts and saw the sin and the evil that they were committing then. Mankind has not changed. They're still committing the same evil today that comes with their position of authority and power and the force that they are allowed to use, carrying it down to violence and false accusations and using their position to enrich themselves in any way they can. And as the people were in expectation and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. And remember, like I said, you know, there's a lot going around in prophetic circles in those days. Lots of false prophets and Christ. So the people were wondering, knowing that the 70th week was upon them. You know, I mean, it didn't take much to count the 70 weeks of years from Daniel. I mean, that's only 490 years. And they knew, you know, about the time that the decree, and perhaps that's why there's still in some circles, there's still a debate to exactly when the decree began, because our Heavenly Father, I believe he had left it a little fuzzy there, just like he leaves it a little fuzzy now that no man knows the day or the hour, exactly what the decree, and we got people going, oh, it was in exactly 400 and so many years BC, and they're trying to date it exactly to a calendar that didn't exist for 1,000 years from when the 70th week came and went. So it's all nonsense as far as I'm concerned, but a lot of people like to engage in that nonsense. But so the same thing was going on, and it wasn't nonsense that they knew that it was about that time, that 70 weeks were, you know, they were there. So the people were mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. And John answered, saying to them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So John settles it. He says right out, I'm not the Christ. He's coming. And whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff will he burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation he preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved of him, for Herodias his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and it came to pass that Yahshua also being baptized, and praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So you have the scene. Jesus come down, Yahshua, the Messiah, comes down to John the Baptist to be baptized. And when he does, he's praying there, being baptized, the heavens opened up, and the Holy Ghost descends in bodily shape like a dove. So they see a dove descending down upon him, and a voice coming from heaven, which says, Thou art my beloved Son, of course, speaking in Hebrew, and perhaps, I would say probably everyone heard there in their own language, if they were able to hear it at all, or able to understand it at all. This is my beloved, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom, in thee, I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Mathat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Janah, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Nahum, which was the son of Esli, which was the son of Nagi, which was the son of Maath, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Semei, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Jonah, which was the son of Risa, which was the son of Zerubbabel, which was the son of Shealtiel, which was the son of Neri, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Adi, which was the son of Kosam, which was the son of Elmodam, which was the son of Ir, which was the son of Josi, which was the son of Eliezer, which was the son of Jorim, which was the son of Mehmathat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Simeon, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Jonan, which was the son of Eliakim, which was the son of Melaiah, which was the son of Menon, which was the son of Mattatha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. So we've got here a very important thing, which Luke has got the genealogies from the family to show that who Yahshua, that he does qualify to be the Messiah. And so we continue. He goes to David, which was the son. Of course, we need know David was the son of Jesse. And we're going to go all the way back here, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Salmon, which was the son of Naasson, which was the son of Aminadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Esram, which was the son of Phares, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham. Abraham was son of Terah, which was the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Rehu, the son of Phalek, the son of Heber, the son of Selah, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Arphaxad, which was the son of Shem, which was the son of Noah, which was the son of Lamech. And for all of you that don't know, this word Shem is, he's the father of the Shemites or the Semites. And that's what it truly means to be the anti-Semitic, is to be against the sign, against the seed line of Shem, the son of Noah, which is the son of Lamech, which is the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which is the son of Malaleel, which is the son of Canaan, which is the son of Enos, which is the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. And there you have it, the seed line, the qualifications of Yahshua, the Messiah, for all the Hebrews to know that he qualified completely to be the Messiah. This is why the genealogies were important up until the Messiah. And that is why we have no genealogies after Messiah, because the time determined for Israel was coming to an end. And the Messiah said in his own words, he said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And I know there's some around there, out there today, who say they are Jews, but they are not. They have supposed genealogies, and some of them in so-called messianic circles, Gentiles, changing their name to Hebrew names, saying that somehow they have a genealogy and somehow they're more qualified to be preachers and teachers of the gospel, drawing men after them, coming up with false prophecies, having little understanding of the scripture, I would say, that we're not supposed to follow after them with their endless genealogies. I don't believe it for a minute. I believe that they are deceived and self-deceived and deceiving others. So that is the whole purpose for the genealogy, and that is why there is no genealogy after, recorded anywhere in the scripture, after the Messiah. The importance of genealogies ends. That's it. The Heavenly Father scattered, he destroyed completely all record of the Hebrew genealogies up to that point. Here we have recorded up to the Messiah. After that, it is not important anymore. A genealogy from the time of Christ to today benefits no one. It confers upon no man any special anointing whatsoever. if someone comes up to you and says, hey, I'm a Jew, I can trace my genealogy back to Christ, run as fast as you can from them. Because they're counting on the arm of flesh. They're counting on something that the scripture says cannot be. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's why we are saved by faith in our Messiah. We are the seed of Abraham. We are that seed of faith. And we are looking for a holy nation, not a nation of flesh and blood, not a nation upheld by the arm of flesh and through endless genealogies. A holy nation. That's what we're looking for. Chapter 4 of the Gospel of Luke. And it continues here. And Yahshua, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said it to him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Yahshua, Jesus, answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking up to a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. In a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore shalt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. And we're just about to run out of time here. So we're going to cover this and comment, because there's a lot that's in these few verses here when we come back next time on Cross the Border. So until then, till we meet again, in everything you say and everything you do, praise his holy name. Hallelujah.